you do not want to punch the upper note. And you don't want to start going from off to up because you're working so hard. You're just very little all through.
Interestingly enough, the curve was still quite high. Interestingly enough. Okay, you may be seated and take out the four songs that you will be responsible for next week, or next Tuesday, I guess it is. Start with My God Never Changes first. Okay. My God never changes. Sing off, huh? My God never changes. Breathe. Forever He is the same. Breathe. My God never changes. Breathe. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise His dear name. Breathe, for He's the same great God. Breathe, through time and eternity. Breathe, He was and He is and He Well, there's two things we can do. Now, I'll tell you what I would do, seeing that you're now in choral ministry class and you're trying to learn how to do that. What if I was a music director, or shall we say, the designated leader of a small group of individuals who are now becoming the music ministry group of a small fellowship someplace, and they weren't very well trained, What I would do is this. I would breathe after "and he is." Breathe after "is." In this group, in a more, what's the word I want? Well, let me see. Still probably have to use catch breathing. And so then you have to teach people how to catch breathe, which I haven't done in this class yet. But I will eventually, if not later. Okay, so you breathe after "and he is." He was and he is, breathe, and he always will be what his people need him to be. Okay, first chord. Sing "ah." Sounds like most of you know your first pitch. One, two, three, one, two. Have that there, tenors? Got that down pat, do you? How about the basses? Got that down pat, do you? There's a couple of places. Well, let's hear basses and tenors together. One, two, three, one, two. Sounds like. Okay. What? Where? 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 What page are you on?
A to B on his, in the second line of the first major.
What page? Start with a page.
First page.
Second line.
First major.
He is. Okay.
He is the same. He is the same.
Nobody's singing that quite right. Behind it, or they rush it, but it's right where it belongs. And is your
always will be one is people.
See? It's real simple. Try it, everybody, right there. Always. One, two, three.
Always will be one is people.
Again, you're behind the beat. One, two,
three. Always.
No, your ways is behind the beat. You're way behind the beat on ways. Right with me. When I count, you get that rhythm and stay with it. One, two, three.
Always will be what is before me.
Was the part difficult there, Alto? Well, the part's easy.
Always will be what is before.
Right?
Always will be what is before. Need him to be.
My, that's low, isn't it, Altos? All right, that's that one. I won't turn back now. I had a glimpse of glory. Seen my Savior leading me. Tired soprano friends, you are about a quarter step flat. Because you're not supporting when you are tired. It takes more energy when you are tired than when you are not. Because your old throat won't hold you up there. You've got to support it with your tum-tum. Okay.
Oops.
Ah. I won't turn back now. I've had a glimpse of glory. I've seen my Savior leading me. I've seen his face, I've seen his love, I've seen his power from above, and I know his grace is more than enough for me.
For me.
That's right. Yeah. That's usually where you do it. Is there some reason why we don't sing any of these songs? It never came back. It never came back. Oh, yeah. It never came back. I've got lots of them upstairs that haven't come back. And a lot of... this is 2:55, so it's reasonably early. Reasonably. Not two. You can only handle so much data, you know, and you only know so many songs. And Mary Ellen is more in a leadership role, and Keith is more in a leadership role than others, and so songs that they write and or receive are more frequently repeated than those that others though Ron King has got a few going in chapel, chapel's been a forum for Ron, so that then they stay around. But even Keith has done a bunch and haven't somehow come back. Though we're putting one on the tape, hoping it'll come back. You know, it just happens. I mean, very powerful song Keith wrote. We haven't heard it since the one weekend that he sang it, all weekend. And that was...
A sweet song.
29 verses later. But it's on the tape. It will be on Reflecting 5. So... And...
We shall triumph. We shall triumph in the Lord.
That one.
Far from our wish, find the Lord.
That's on the tape. But, so... They come back, you know. Sometimes they come back. And there's some, like Mary Ellen sang, how'd it go? Well, she sang that first time last spring sometime. Ron wrote it down, it never came back, and I put it in the dead file. Not dead, the never come back file. They're still there in case. And then she sang it again Monday night at camp meeting. Well, everybody thought it was brand new at camp meeting. No, it wasn't. It wasn't brand new at camp meeting at all. There's one that she sang in music ministry one time that I thought would really catch hold and didn't, and that was Behold the Angel of the Lord. Love that song. Chorus. I'm personally attached to it, but so we pulled it back out of the file again, and I still have it with a question mark on it, waiting to see what happens. We do have it coming out on a post-service worship tape, however. The whole Monday night segment is on one whole side of the tape. And the other side of the tape is the night that we introduced I Will Open Wide My Heart. So you have a half hour of Open Wide My Heart and a half hour of Holy, Holy, Holy. Or 15 minutes or whatever it is. I think it's a half hour. I think it's a full hour tape. And that's coming out at a higher price. Because it took more time and money to do it, so it's going to be a higher price. So maybe it'll come back then, you know. Okay. Oh, we want to go through this one more time. Make sure you get the parts. Sing off. Don't bother. Started. Half an hour late. Again. One, two, three, four, one. I won't turn. Misled the bass section. Stays there.
And I know His grace is more than enough for me. Y'all got that D in your voice.
I sure could use that yesterday. We recorded all the men's backup choirs for Reflecting 5, Keith and I and Jeff. And a way to go from low E flat
high G.
flat. So we turned the tape up and sang in E and then turned it back down again. Okay, that's that one. Behold. Sing ah basses. Tenor. Alto. One, two, three, four, one, two, three. Oh, we're coming on three, aren't we? I noticed that I X'd out my flags after I went past three. One, two, three, four, one, two. I'm trying to get you a little more excited by what I'm playing. Maybe my playing isn't all that exciting. Okay, that's that one. Did you have any part problems there that were of grave? Yes, Robert. Uh-uh. Third line, but not second line. Right? Isn't that correct? It's the syncopated things.
Behold, behold, the angel of the Lord. Behold, behold, behold.
We're open record here. I will sing hallelujah, joy to the Lord. Oh, this one could come back. Now, pardon me. Oh, we could all...
Joy.
See if we could sing this in an E-flat. Yeah, it'll fit in E-flat. I'll have to show this one to Keith.
Sing ah basses,
sing oh soprano, alto, ah tenor.
Oh, it's just so lovely. Now sing with some gusto. One, two, three, four, one, two.
Thank you.
wasn't that easy. Now, you're all ready for your test, of course. After your review and sweat, and having nervous breakdown over the whole thing. Actually, these are quite simple. However, you may wonder,
I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'll be really frank and honest with you, if I may. May I? Thank you.
I think I will. The truth of the matter is that if I was building a choral group to performing capability, I would woodshed until everybody had the parts. If it was a brand new group, see, if it was a brand new, all of a sudden your fellowship starting a little music ministry, and you just woodshed until you get the parts, right? You know what woodshedding is? Yeah. Woodshedding is when you just work on parts and work on parts and work on parts until you get them done. Admittedly, and we didn't do that with these. We went through them a few times, had some exercises in reading and this sort of thing. And your reading ability is different among you, and that's fine. We would assume that. But in this class, I didn't do that because I want to see, all right, what can you do? Where are you at and what can you do? So we've gone through them X number of times and plus a little review. And we went through each one of them extensively and then a review. And now you've got to do what you can do with them to come back and get and feed it back to me. Because once you get a choral group going down the road a piece, you want to get that choral group into a position where you can pass out, you know, a raft of music and expect them to come back to the next rehearsal with that music learned. Not memorized, but learned. At least learned to the point that they can sing most of it. Now, there may be difficult rhythms or difficult intervals and stuff like that they're not quite sure of and may have to, you know, you may have to iron those out, and that's fine. Most music that you will sing in a gospel choir setting is not going to be extremely difficult. However, if you have difficult music, well, then you may pass it out for them to look at, give it a try, and then you may find yourself woodshedding anyway. But the place you want to get a group of people is where that they can, in fact, read well enough that they can go home and either plunk it out on the piano or get together with some other friends and plunk it out and learn the material. And it's a mistake, in my estimation, to let a music group go year after year and remain lazy regarding music, reading music, I mean. That's a mistake, even if you're in Ulysses, Kansas. Do you hear me, Nicholas? I talked to Nick on the phone yesterday. They're getting a grand piano for their church. Probably a Yamaha 5/8. Lovely instrument. That's just grand. I didn't mean to say that. I really didn't. It hit me after I said it. But that's really wonderful, you know. A grand piano is quite a luxury for a small church. And I really appreciate the church having a vision and a heart behind this area of ministry that they'll, you know, put the funds behind it because they're not a real big church. Obviously not a real poor church either. But that's great. That's really great. They've been awfully good to Nick. They've been marvelous. They, you know, when he needs to come up for camp meeting, they ship him up here for camp meeting. It's a wonderful, wonderful assembly he's got down there. And they don't let their group go. And they've been real serious about the ministry of music down there. Real serious. And Melody's worked hard. And Bruce has worked with them, Bruce McGlohan. And Nick has come in and from time to time taken over and, you know, thrown some weight around. And so they have a real vision for the ministry of music down there. It's just not a pastime. Where Jamie hasn't had it quite so easy out there in Bozeman. First time he called a music ministry rehearsal, two people showed up. He wasn't complaining. He said it would be really easy to trace rumors. in a letter he sent me afterwards. So I need to give Scott a call. I guess Scott has taken over the ministry of music back there, so I've got to give him a call and find out what's happening. He said he had a lot to talk to me about when he was out for camp meeting, but as you know, during camp meeting I saw absolutely no one, including my wife and children, for 4 days running, and because of the television ministry and other things. That's a little bit of an overstatement. But I only got to say hi to most people. I didn't get to sit down and talk with any of the visitors, visiting ministers, etc. But meanwhile, back at our problem, to get a choral group there, you've got to gradually push them. Now, I'm not gradually pushing you. I'm demanding you because you're in a college setting. Now, you get out in Bozeman, Montana, and you're not in a college setting, except there's a college in town. But your people, they're farmers or they're insurance agents or, you know, they're this or that. They're gas station attendants. They're, you know, housewives or, you know, Avon representatives. I mean, their life is more microcosmic than our life. We're in a revival church with a big vision and a Bible college and 150 active ministries and everybody involved and busy people. The people, you know, if we need deliverance from anything, it's deliverance from having a nutso schedule. Most people out there don't have that problem. It's getting them involved. That is the other way, see? So once you get people involved in the choral ministry, keep them inspired, but you need to keep challenging them along the way. Now, if you dump on them community chapelistic, if I may use the term, and you know how I mean it, standard for preparation and development and this sort of thing, says, we're going to do this, you know, and we're going to have this, and you're going to sing in the Spirit an hour every night, and da-da-da-da-da, on and on, and, you know, you're going to know how to read music, and I'm going to be able to give you 8 pieces of music, and you're going to go home, come back, and learn, and then we're going to do this outreach, and that thing, and this thing, and that thing, and they're going to go, it's impossible. No, brother, I just wanted to sing in church, you know. Well, I just thought, I mean, my old church, we only sang one anthem a week, you know, and whatever. I mean, the mentality's different. So, that doesn't mean you just want to have a, if you've ever been to Maui, you know what I mean. In Maui, it takes 30 minutes to get an order of Kentucky Fried Chicken. What's the rush? Nobody's in a hurry on Maui. There's nothing to hurry for. No, it's perfect. It's just perfect after a half. And I thought, this can't be. So we went back again. 30 minutes. And then I realized, we went to a quote, shopping center in Lahaina, and they have a McDonald's. So I wanted to get a McDonald's burger, right? 15 minutes to get served and fed at McDonald's. And it wasn't a big line. There just wasn't a big hurry. And so, we have a joke over at the studio, Maui time. You know, yeah, we'll have rehearsal, you know, 2 o'clock Maui time. And so, you can, which is, you know, when, what's the rush, Mr. Johnson? It isn't very far from one place to another, so what's the hurry? I mean, the train goes 26 miles an hour. I mean, it's really, and it only goes 4 miles. I mean, so it's a marvelous place when you're not in a rush. It you know, it takes a while. Last time we went on vacation, we went to Honolulu, and well, not the last time we went on vacation, but the last time we went on a vacation. And first evening we were there, we decided to go for a walk on the beach. And so we walked down to the beach, and all right, and I looked over there, and about a half a mile away was this area, and so I thought, well, we're going there. Off we go down the beach. Now he says, what is the rush? I said, well, it's over there. We have to get there, you know. So would you slow down? This is where we're supposed to be having a nice, quiet walk on the beach. And here you're taking off like you're heading for West Campus to do something. Took me a while, but in a couple of days, I was okay. I nearly broke several limbs trying to slow down. So you don't want to keep your church on Maui time. And though sometimes it'll do us good to sit down and breathe from time to time on our busy schedule. It's like, I want to get to chapel so bad, I'm rushing around in the morning, and I drop Andrew off, and I rush over here, and I have to park way out there. So I park way out there, and I run to my office and drop my stuff off. Come to chapel and say, how can I enter in? I've just run a decathlon, you know. And so it takes a minute to slow down. It's a little, it's free of charge, but for Bible college students, a handy bit of data. slow down a minute from time to time and breathe and take a minute. To relax. But you can't just dump everything on them at once, but a few things from time to time to challenge them and encourage them along. And see, you're going to have the opportunity to learn this, reading music. And then the question will come up, why? I sing fine without it. Well, and then you start bringing a vision. Because by then, probably the pastor or fellowship leader has been bringing areas of vision. See, and increasing the people's understanding and sight as to what God can do with them as a people. See? And with that foundation, you always can go back, well, like the pastor's been saying, or like Brother So-and-so has been saying, or, you know, whoever, whatever, however you refer, if it's a fellowship or a church. Probably you won't have a music ministry group unless you're a church, or in the process of becoming a church, and if you're in the process of becoming a church, their vision is expanded. But there's reasons. And we've talked about the reasons for reading music, and I suppose you all know what they are, right? But you would like me to tell you again, just to refresh your memory, right? Well, reading music, because you all, of course, were in intensive principles of Holy Spirit and anointed music when we talked about this. It's like learning a foreign language. If you're going to be a missionary to a foreign country, you've got to know the language, right? That's why I've always wanted to be a missionary to Jamaica. They speak English, sort of. They speak at English. Huh? Very round English. I mean, drop words and add them on the wrong place, and it's really strange. But music is that. It's a foreign language. It is the language of the ministry you're involved in. And to successfully be able to minister, you need to know how to read music. Because to learn copious quantities of music quickly, it's much better to learn it by reading it than to try and learn it by rote and remember it. Though, you can assure them that music will be taught by rote on occasion, because sometimes we won't have time to write it down. But you need to suggest them that they begin believing that God will give us, our little assembly, songs born of the Spirit that will minister to us and minister out from here to reach others. And believe them to be opening their hearts wide to the Lord to begin to use them in the ministry of songwriting and this sort of thing. Begin to increase their vision and their understanding that God wants to use them to do a mighty thing in the end of time. This just isn't, you know, we're singing for God here at Community Chapel of, Turlock. I know, and I would never go there. Can you imagine a community chapel in Turlock? Anything's possible with God. It's about as interesting as a community chapel of Sausalito. But they could sure use one. But if you're from Turlock, no offense. Well, I guess people aren't real rich in Turlock. They're richer right next door at Belvedere. You go across the bridge and all the rich people live on Belvedere. But, you know, everybody has boats in Turlock. Big boats. Not, we have boats in Des Moines. They have boats in Turlock. But nice boats. The vision is more than this little body right here, you see, that we're involved in. It's what is God going to do? How is God going to affect people in the end of time? So you begin to increase their vision so they see a need for what they're going to be doing. And it's... My illustrious colleagues are having a discussion, I hear. The need to read music is evident and great. And so they have an opportunity in this setting to learn it. It's not like you have to do this so it's a burden, but you have an opportunity. And assure them they're all going to be able to learn it. See, many, many people have had music lessons in the past and forgot everything they knew or never thought they could read the stuff, and so they have already a defeatist attitude toward it. But you can begin to encourage them not to have a defeatist attitude. Right? Right. And so what I've done then in this class is this. I want to see what you can do, and I'm going to test you and see what you can do. And if you don't do very well, don't worry about it. Your grade won't be very good, but don't worry about that either. You'll just see where you are in relationship to the rest of the class and where you need to be. See, the interesting thing about reading music is not, well, you know, I got, you know, X number percent of the information. You need all of the information. It's not, well, I can do it, you know, D minus level. No, you need to be able to read music at an A or A plus level. You do. Period. Everybody does who's involved in music. So grading on a curve, really what it tells you is how you're doing, not according to how the best people in the class do, but it also tells you how you're doing in relationship to how you should be able to do. See? Now, also it's going to help us ascertain a few things, like, is this class going to be satisfactory, or could you use some other classes, like intensive vocal training? Already I know a few of you that could certainly use that class. And some of you have already been in that class, had those classes, and recognized the benefit thereof, am I right? Yeah, there's a good bunch of you. And you may say, well, I haven't had that class. Can I get as good a grade as those who have? And the answer is probably not, unless you're very talented. Probably not, unless you're very talented. And the reason is because they are doing better than you are. But it's the same thing as your maps and historical books. Right? Remember those? And perspectives. The philosophy that Don has always had as well, if you are artsy, then you should get a better grade. Well, but isn't it just on the material? No, it's on the total map. But I'm not very artistic. Well, do your best. Well, is that fair? Sure it is. I mean, you take some of those map makers and bring them in here and have them sing. See how they do, you know? I've seen Bonnie Martin's map, that, you know, spiral bound, and you open it up and it folds out into this big thing, and then folds back up and has a huge key, and there's another one that folds out. And this thing you could put holes in, and you could put it on a big ring thing and teach from it. Get the picture? You could put it on a big ring thing and teach from it, like a junior high school Bible class or something. It's a tool. She didn't just fulfill the requirements. She made a tool, right? So in this class, you're just not fulfilling requirements. You're making a tool. A tool, you are the tool that God can use someday, someplace, to do the very thing I'm doing with you. Now, I've said that how many times in this class? So, yeah, well, I probably won't quit either. So that's what I'm going to be testing you on and how I'm going to be testing you. So if you may wonder, and you're probably going to wonder, well, will I see my grade? Well, possibly. Possibly. I will try to give you your grade. And I may try to make comments, but that is a big order for Mr. Teacher here to make comments. I have done that in the past. It's not easy. It's not the most efficient way to test, but I may try to do it to help you. You may get a C minus and wonder, why did I get a C minus? I thought I did okay. Well, in relationship to other people and or in the relationship to what you could do, you got a C minus. Now, here are the things I'm going to be judging you on when you sing for me Tuesday. One, your knowledge of the part. Your knowledge of the part. Two, your and that will include, I should say, A and B, pitch, correct pitch, and correct rhythm. These two areas will be the primary fundamental grade getter. Okay? In addition to that, we'll see how well you can phrase. In other words, how well can you sing that phrase and make it come off right and sound like it's really sung, not just toned, but actually sung. Is it creating a musical expression? Okay. Three, how well you sing with the other three people you're singing with. Notice what? How are you ensembling? Are you a singer unto yourself, or are you actually ensembling with those around about you? You may say, well, we haven't hardly done anything like this. Well, that's true. We'll just see what you can do. I said the rhythm and pitch are the fundamental grade getters, but these are additional things we'll be looking at. There may be a sight singing test. There may be a sight singing test. Tuesday, right at the same time. In other words, I may add a fourth factor of ability to sight sing. Because then we'll see how well you really read music. For instance, I have found when I do these tests, a lot of time everybody is from B plus up. That makes for a really funny looking curve. Kind of goes... It looks more like a question mark than a parabola. And so I want to make a real honest-to-goodness curve out of what the ability of the class is. Now you may say, some people have brought data with them to class. That's super. Praise the Lord. But that's just exactly the way it's going to be when you start a choral group someplace. Assorted abilities, different experiences.
What are you going to do with them, and how are you going to evaluate them? So you need to see yourself in the midst of one of these evaluations. Then you can see what you have to do, and then you're going to have a heart. See? Now, for instance, if you shine in this testing in an A or an A+, you may go, wow. But remember, you're the top iceberg of the curve. If you got an A+, it doesn't mean everybody in the class got an A+. It means that you are very, very good. So that means where you are today means there's people quite a bit less capable than you are. What would you do if you had to teach those people? See, it gives you an idea of what you're going to end up with someday when you have to minister to people. Now, if you end up getting a C or a C-, you may say, boy, then I've got a lot to do. Well, then you're going to have a heart and an understanding for the C- people in your group someday. See? Does this make sense? This is all very helpful. It's not a personal attack. Right? So, do your best. Plus, it's going to help us all see what we can do to improve and what have you. So it'll be those primary areas. There may be some other things I'll consider. We have discussed a little bit about vowel shape and different things. See how you're doing. Pitch, as far as intonation, your intonation is. I will be concerned with intonation. Intonation is being in tune. One thing, please don't be nervous. Consider it an adventure. Fun. Enjoyable. You will sing better if you do that. If you're nervous, your grade will plummet. Okay? Not plummet, but... See, I can usually tell how nervous a person is and how good they could really do if they weren't. I am able to do that. But if you're just enjoying yourself and having fun with friends, it's a whole lot easier. That's the way I approach a recording session. If I approach a recording session... like this is a recording session, I get nervous. But if I just come to worship the Lord or to enjoy myself in the presence of the Lord, I do much better. It's much more efficient, much more expressive, much more anointed, much less mistakes. Okay, yes. Just wait and see.